And welcome to the Dark Side of Soul Ho Ho podcast. Oh, oh, oh. This is Joe.
And this is Sean. I was trying to think of a clever Christmas joke.
Joe. I mean, if you pronounce it in, you know, this is Spanish, it'd be ho ho Jose, Jose, Jose. But
there
ho,
you
ho,
go,
ho.
Jose. That's right. Jose.
Feliz Navidad. Yeah, we're in the season right now. And I thought we're going to talk a little bit about the dark side of Christmas in Korea, but there's not really much dark. There is a little bit of dark side, but I think this would just be a fun time to talk about the history of Christmas in Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's
always
be like you said, there's a couple of dark things, but
there are some things. Yeah.
Christmas has a dark hue to it for some people. It's like a time of year when depression really gets bad. I don't know if that's the same in Korea. Actually, I don't think it has the same, doesn't carry the same familial weight for people, where it's not just really a family holiday.
But still, in some of my research, there's a lot of depression around Christmas in Korea too.
Okay, there you go. Not good. But Christmas time. What was before we start, what was your first Christmas like?
Depressing.
In Korea, I mean.
It was depressing. Yeah. I don't know. I take that back. But it was beautifully melancholy. I take that back. Beautifully melancholy. It was my first Christmas not being near any family, friends, being away from my children from my first marriage. So that was really rough. I was able to talk to them on the phone that Christmas, but I remember my girlfriend at the time, who later became my wife, but she was my fresh new girlfriend at the time, came over to spend Christmas with me. And I got her what she still says is the dumbest gift, the worst gift I ever gave her. She was training me. I gave her this purple handbag because, you know, I knew that she liked purple, and I saw a handbag that was purple. And yeah, it was god ugly, god awful ugly in hindsight. And I think we went out for some type of meal, and it was fine. It was fine. And that's when I started learning that when I'm away from my culture's traditions, it's up to me to uphold them if I really want to continue them. So that's when Mr. Blasé about Christmas Grinch, I became Merry Cherry Christmas. I went hardcore into the holly and ivy. And now, when I came in today, my former girlfriend, who's now my wife, was complaining about how the house smells too much like pine right now. It's giving her a headache. So I'm having to reduce the scenticles I have strategically placed around the house to give us, it smells like a Christmas tree lot in our house.
Right.
I'm so hardcore. I mean, my house over the years, I've just accumulated so much stuff. I've decorated so extremely. I've gotten, you know, decorations from all over the world. I mean, I ordered some from Britain one year, so we had these British stuff, and we try to get ornaments every year, and we have certain videos we watch now, and everyone's getting more into the swing of things now. The traditions are going on. Two nights ago we put up the tree and decorated it, and we're watching our usual videos while doing it. And each year, there's some new thing I'm doing. Like a couple of years ago, my really cheesy side came out through, and I cannot believe it, but I do binge Hallmark movies.
Oh, I remember you told me that last year. Yeah, I had a good chuckle. I had a good chuckle at that. You're like, you're watching anything Christmassy tonight? I was like, yeah, I'm watching, you know, Black Christmas again.
Yeah.
It's like, what? I'm like, what are you watching? You're like, I'm watching Angels in the Tree or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm watching some movie about, you know, a young professional woman leaving the city and then going to her hometown where some man from her past teaches her the true meaning of Christmas.
That, Ghost Stories.
It's the same. This is the plot of every Hallmark movie.
True meaning of Christmas is Ghost Stories.
Yeah, that too.
That's the true meaning of my Christmas anyway. Ghost Stories and Christmas Eve, sitting in front of the tree and no lights on but the tree.
Well, how was your first Christmas?
I was in Sokcho.
Mm-hmm.
On Christmas Eve, I was at a club. Mm-hmm. I had fun my first Christmas in Korea. We drove, me and my good buddy Sakun, mm-hmm. met him on my first day in Korea. Still good friends 21 years later, and a coworker, Tim, and the three of us drove in Sakun's shitty Jeep, cold, the heat didn't work, to Sokcho from Ilsan to Sokcho, and the new highways weren't built yet, so it took us, and it started to snow just as we kind of got to the Mishiryong. The Mishi Pass, you know, that you got to go over to get down into Sokcho, which is a sketchy road. A lot of accidents happened there, but it's a beautiful spot. Soon as we got there, it was maybe midnight. No one else on the road. It started to snow.
I'm guessing this is 2002.
No, 2000.
Mm.
Yeah. 2000. I don't remember exactly 2002, but I remember, you know, you remember your first Christmas.
I'll tell you why later, but yeah.
Okay. So anyway, yeah. And then, that was Christmas. That was the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day was Christmas Eve and we hung out in Sokcho. That night, Christmas Eve, we went to a club and we met a group of girls, and one of those girls ended up being my girlfriend for 3.5 years.
Oh, lovely. Oh, wow. That is a love actually tale.
And then, we got shit faced on Christmas Eve. And then we drove back late in the evening on Christmas Day. Mm. And when we got back into Ilsan, I think we went out for chicken.
Oh, that actually sounds great. That sounds really fun.
So that was my first Christmas in Korea.
Yeah. I was looking at old videos and watching our daughter grow up and all these Christmas videos. But it was 2 years ago when the girls had just left for their 2 months in America. So they left on December 23rd. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the first time in a long time I've spent Christmas by myself.
Remember that I invited you to our place for dinner.
Yeah, but I was like, nah, I'm going to celebrate my bachelorhood. So I went to Tom's Pizza.
Yeah, right.
And I still have, I was at Tom's last week and I was like, man, I'm having good memories. Cause I'd like something about Tom's Pizza in the cold because he has, it's all these foldable glass windows / doors and the cold is trying so hard to seep in between the cracks, but Tom's gangster rap playlist is keeping the cold out. And, I had such a good time with him and he was just breaking out all these bottles that people had gifted him and we were trying out all of them. It was just a really good Christmas Eve. It was after already closed down shop. He closed down shop and he and I were just trying out all these bottles and it was really fun. That's a good memory. That's a really good memory I have of a good New Year's Eve. I mean, the Christmas Day afterward was horrible because a hangover, but you know, it was a really precious time for me. I really liked it. In Korea, just, you know, Korea, as flashy as all the lights are, you know, it's Christmassy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if I said this on the podcast before, but Christmas is really different in Korea compared to, say, Halloween, where Halloween's only being embraced in the last few years, but in a very corporate way. It's extremely fake.
Well, but I also credit that with Hagwons. Hagwon kids that grew up with foreigners doing Halloween, they've grown up and they want to continue it.
That might be true, but at the same time, they only know it from that very surface celebration of it.
Yeah.
And most people don't know anything about like where it's from and things like that. Where Christmas is totally different. Christmas was introduced by missionaries and then Koreans, and because Koreans really embrace Christianity, as we know, especially Catholicism early on. And the government.
Now I didn't have anything. So I'm going to start things off with 1887. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, we have Catholics, Jesuits came to Korea before then, but I can't find any records of Christmas being celebrated.
Because they're probably here secretly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't until after Gojong took the throne.
Christmas has had a history of being a secret celebration.
There you go, man. That as well.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. During the Cromwell era in the UK as well. Yeah.
Right. Old Cromwell.
Oh, Cromwell.
You know, Cromwell. You know, Cromwell, just quick. Cromwell was used as a boogeyman in Ireland. Like, if you don't go to sleep, Cromwell's going to come get you tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm
sure. That would scare me.
Yeah, especially the Irish back then. They're like, ooh, Cromwell.
So, 1887 was the first Christmas, not last Christmas. First Christmas. It was at Jeongdong Methodist and Presbyterian churches, which are still in Jeongdong, but they had just been established a few months earlier in October. And then there were a few schools set up at the time. One was called Beje Hakdang, which there's still one, the east wing of that is still around, is still a museum. It's a museum to the founder, Henry Appenzeller, who was one of the missionaries. There were like four missionaries that came over first to Korea, the two Horaces, Underwood, Allen, then Henry Appenzeller and Mary Scranton. Yeah. And they established, oh my gosh, the influence they've had on this country without even, I'm thinking about this more. It's like.
Huge influence culturally.
Yeah. Yeah. Without really, I don't think they really understood at all how big that would be. Anyway.
Yeah, they were proselytizing. So.
Yeah, they were. I know. That was their goal. But the unintentional effects that happened.
Sure.
Yeah. So Appenzeller, he started Beje Hakdang school. I think it was a school for boys, and he gathered them around and told the boys about the Christmas, and he gave them, from gathering from this, it was gifts in their socks or something like that. I think he did the stocking thing, or he had them hang up the stockings and put gifts in the stockings, but he said those were from Santa, and the boys were just ecstatic about that. Also, I'm going to say Santa Claus, but I think back then it was called Father Christmas or something like that. It wasn't called Santa Claus. It was St. Nicholas. It wasn't called Santa Claus until the 20th century, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm not entirely sure when that went through, but.
Well, check out the History of Christmas podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, there are podcasts all year long. They talk about Christmas.
Right. But I think because Santa is also from Sinterklaas, right? Which was also.
That's a Dutch one.
Okay. Right. And Sint Nicholas, right? Nicholas. And I'm probably mispronouncing that, but the Dutch. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not sure if it was anglicized earlier on. I'm really not sure when that started. But anyway.
Anyway. Horace Underwood held the first Presbyterian communion service for Koreans during that Christmas Sunday service. And then he started the tradition of inviting special church members and others in the community to his home for Christmas dinner feast at the time. At the same time, Mary F. Scranton started Iwa Hakdang, which still exists. And it's still active. High school.
It's my wife's high school.
Yeah.
My wife went there.
And she made a Christmas tree. There, and Appenzeller again dressed as Santa Claus went around and entertained the children. It's 1887, and so this was kind of like a little celebration that was in the small foreigner community right behind Deoksegung Palace over in Jeongdong. Now, this odd community was also a point of interest to the royalty, to the palace. So in 1894, the Empress Myeongseong, we say, she was curious about Christmas. After she had formed a close relationship with Horace Underwood and his wife Lilias Horton. And Ms. Horton made a Christmas tree out of pine trees and candles and installed it in the palace. So that was the first Christmas tree in a palace in 1894. And them being missionaries, they found that Christmas was a really good selling tool for Christianity. So they were using...
Yes.
They really were. Ms. Horton was trying to use Christmas as a way to get... establish a clinic. She would set up clinics around Christmas time, trying to convert more people and do what, you know, what they thought was good. In 1897, just 3 years later, was the first Christmas festival at Baejae Hakdang. And this was the first public celebration of Christmas in Korea. So people were all, you know, wasn't just, these were all private celebrations or people inside schools. This was open to the public. So they started the tradition of doing Christmas plays. I love this, lotus lanterns. I found that interesting. Mm-hmm. And giving out gifts to the children. And the next year, this is where it's like the Jesuits and the Catholics definitely were doing this, but I just couldn't find any. They don't really have many good records of this. But in 1898, Jesuit and Catholic churches had lots of lanterns going on. And a Mrs. Noble, who was visiting Korea at the time, wrote in her diary that so many people were crowding in to the churches to see this nativity play that it destroyed the door to the church. And Koreans are really showing interest in the Christmas holiday because it was so different than their own traditional holidays. It was not about celebrating someone's death. It was about celebrating life and joy and hope. Mm-hmm. A little different, and it was more of a fun thing. It was you know, it could be a lot of drinking and partying too.
Yeah, a lot of secular value in Christmas, mm-hmm. for sure.
One of them, Jeongdong Methodist Pastor Han Seok-won. Was a Korean pastor who really pushed it. He was the one that was making all these Christmas plays, and he published children's magazines promoting Christmas. So he got it really, really popular back then. But then the Japanese took over. No, in the 1910s. Included. Yeah, in the 1910s, it started becoming more like a new type of festival. It became way more public. And yeah, it was just a little more fun than Chuseok and Seolal, which, yeah. I mean, there are advantages. I like Chuseok and Seolal, but yeah, Christmas is a little more fun.
We'll return to the podcast after this message.
Get our comic book, The Dark Side of Seoul, Weird Tales from Korean Lore, at our website, darksideofseoul.com. Or get it at Comixology. If you're in Seoul, visit the Dice Latte near Hwaegi Station to get your copy. Written by me and drawn by Tim Bauer, it's 50 pages of folkloric dread. And now, back to the show.
Well, we definitely think so, probably because we were raised in Christmas. But
yeah, but it seemed like Koreans thought so too. They were really attracted to Christmas.
Okay. Mm.
And during the colonial period, in the 20s and 30s, it got a little more commercialized. Exchanging gifts became the norm. Department stores, these modern Japanese department stores or Japanese Korean department stores, were doing these Christmas displays. And it's because of the Japanese, this became known as a time for couples. I think this was something from Japan that was ported over here.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah. And this was also a time of great modernization. So young Koreans at the time wanted to be the because Seoul back then was called Gyeongsong. and they wanted to be the Gyeongsung modern boy and modern girl. And they wanted to follow the Western trends and culture. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? and it was created this party culture. And so Christmas then became a couple's holiday where young couples would just go out and have fun, go to dances and stuff, be entertained. It was also around this time, 1928, we started getting the Salvation Army charity pot with the bell ringing the bells.
Oh, that's when the church was built too. Same year.
The old church
at the end of Jeongdong. Yeah.
And then 1932, first Korean Christmas seal by Dr. Sherwood Hall.
Mm-hmm.
From Canada.
Canadian. Well, Canadian, but born in Korea.
Okay. Well,
Canadian-Korean.
Canadian-Korean. Korean-Canadian. Korean-Canadian. Canadian-Korean.
Canadian-Korean.
Canadian-Korean. Yeah, the people from... Okay, the people from Kim's Convenient are Korean-Canadian, but Dr. Sherwood was Canadian-Korean. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, that's
figuring
right.
Figuring it out.
Yeah. Mm.
You had something to say?
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this seal was meant to bring awareness and prevent tuberculosis. He painted a turtle ship aiming its artillery at the tuberculosis mark.
That's cool. I like to see those.
I want to see that. Sounds so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, all this commercialization, of course, we got to have the God, it's not like how it was in my day. So in 1936, someone in the Mayo Shimbo newspaper complained about how Christmas was passed on from the hands of Christians to the hands of merchants. Bah. Wow. Oh, hold on. It sounds like Sean. Hold on.
A little bit. Sounds like, a little bit like a certain author from England who wrote a famous book in 1843.
Oh, Edgar Allan Poe? Oh.
Okay. British author.
British. Poe is American. Okay. Yeah.
Christmas Carol.
I know. I'm not joking. Well, a year after that, the Sino-Japanese War broke out. So Christmas was suppressed. Any gatherings were suppressed. So Christmas became a gloomy day up until liberation in 1945. That's when the U.S. came in. Right, all right. Welcome to your freedom. We're going to impose a night curfew.
Yeah, right.
The curfew was from midnight to 4 a.m. It's basically what I'm thinking is in modern times the Seoul Metro subway system honors this curfew still.
Right.
So yeah, there's this curfew. Everyone had to be indoors around midnight to 4 a.m. except on Christmas Day and on New Year's Eve.
Can't celebrate New Year's if you got to be in before midnight.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Yeah. Mm. So the only 2 days. And reestablish Christmas as a holiday. The government, Syngman Rhee's government in 1949 made it official. Didn't really call it Christmas. Called it Giduk Tanshinil. Yeah, Giduk Tanshinil. The birthday of the Christian.
Yeah, I've never heard of it being called that, because I know the Sungtanjeol is a word for Christmas. Koreans now just say Christmas. But Christmas. But yeah, I've never heard that word before. That's interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what it was called. And this time was short-lived because then the Korean War broke out in the 50s. And this is where American soldiers were influencing Christmas celebrations. The American way of making it about children came back into play. And I remember just hearing stories from older Koreans about how they were their young children and how the soldiers would give them chocolates and toys around Christmas. And that was good. That was good PR. Of course, we can't mention the Korean War without talking about the Hungnam evacuation. Right in the at the beginning of the war, it happened from December 15th through 24th. It's known as the Miracle of Christmas, and this is, you know, if you know much the general history of the Korean War is, the Chinese the North invaded South, then the Americans, the Allies came in, the UN came in and pushed them up north. And then MacArthur started wanting to go further north into China, and China went and brought their forces, and they went in, went back down. So this is when the Chinese I think were advancing on the Chosin Reservoir, and they were evacuating UN forces and North Korean civilians who wanted to get out. That was during that time, and it was maybe I'll do a show on that sometime. Every now and then I come across things and I'm like, ooh, that's way too much information for the middle of a show. So I think I'll dedicate a whole show to the Hungnam evacuation. We don't have many Korean War episodes so far. Eventually we're going to get around to them.
Yeah, I think only really the Hangang Bridge, right? That's the biggest one.
Yeah, it's just so much to parse through when I'm doing that.
Yeah, we've mentioned it a bit, like in our dark history of popular tourist spots. We talk about Incheon and its role in the war and stuff like that.
But I also like to find interesting of how the soldiers celebrated. I mean, if you watch MASH, see how Hawkeye was. But I've seen pictures of they have these makeshift little Christmas trees, and they decorate it with cotton and cigarette packs. I did find one tale. Let me see if I can find it. I'm going to quote this from the New Yorker. This is a summary of the article. It's from the December 27th, 1952 issue. It says
father's birthday. That was his ninth birthday.
Oh, wow. On Christmas Eve, 1951, the writer and three Korean soldiers on special assignment stayed at an inn outside Gyeongju. Shortly after arriving, the writer discovered he had lost his pipe. His friends were pained by his loss, but he said it was only a pipe, and this was Christmas Eve. Later, three of them walked into town and stopped at a tea room that had a Christmas tree in one corner. They drank tea, sang, and had a merry time. The writer noticed some whispering between his friends, but pretended not to notice. The next morning, the writer found a package by his side. It was a pipe from his three friends. He wouldn't trade it today for Colonel's Eagles. I guess that's an expression.
Wouldn't trade it for Colonel's Eagles.
I guess it made sense back then.
It's a time era specific slang.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess so. Anyway, I would love. I like every time you come across old tales. I've seen film footage of Christmas back then.
Yeah, they call it the old timey Christmas or the classic Christmas. So I wonder, like, if in the 50s they called Christmas from like the 20s or the like the old timey Christmas or the Christmas from the 1890s, the old timey Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they did. But because of later on after the war, the curfew was still going on, and so there was some people would stay up. And it was like the dawn song on the morning. I think it was morning of Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Anyway, just staying up all night and watching the sunrise was a thing. It still is a thing for New Year's. but it was a theme for Christmas too. And then singing in the morning, because it was an expression of freedom. But then the curfew was lifted in 1982. And so it kind of, it wasn't as special anymore. Staying up all night for Christmas. Okay. So from the 1980s to the present, you know, the economy, you know, Miracle on the Han was happening. That Salvation Army pop was spreading all around the country. Things got even more commercial. And you were saying like Myeongdong in the 60s was really looking.
Yeah. I've seen it before, like photos. Everyone go online and just search Seoul Christmas 1960. And you'll see photos of Myeongdong. At that time, it looks like downtown Toronto or St. John's or I don't know, New York or something. It looks like or London. It's interesting. There's rows of cards everywhere. Shops have Christmas decorations up and saying Christmas sales and things like that.
Oh yeah.
And this is in Myeongdong, not a central area for foreigners, a main shopping area for Koreans in those days.
Yeah. Well, that's where the department stores left over by the Japanese were. Some Myeongdong.
Right. But what I mean is like now it's a big foreigner. It's a tourist shopping spot.
Oh, yeah. And Myeongdong these days, yeah, it is pretty lit up. I would say Myeongdong is still kind of one of the center areas for Christmas in Korea.
Sure. The Lotte department store famously, the way they designed the building, or not design, sorry, they decorate the building.
Mm-hmm. I saw just a few days ago. I was down there and I started seeing some of the. Oh, I was doing the tour and I saw.
Right.
I saw how they were lighting it. My second year, we met over in Myeongdong on Christmas Eve, and it was the most crowded I've ever been in a place in my life. Squished in the public square, just. People, just couples just going around and just lines and lines at every restaurant. It was such a miserable time for me. Never go to Myeongdong on Christmas Eve. I learned that rule. And that was back before Myeongdong was too touristy back then.
You're right.
It has become more commercial. It's become... it still is a kind of a lover couples holiday, but I've noticed in my time here, it's been leaning back towards family holiday. We have the Christmas cake here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't expect it to be like any special, like Christmas cake ingredients, like figgy pudding or anything. It's just like any cake you get any other time of the year. It's just over the top decorated.
It just has a snowman on it or a Christmas tree.
No, every year I used to document this on the Zen Kimchi blog is I would take pictures of all the crazy over the top cakes. Cause there's the competition for Christmas cakes amongst all the bakeries and coffee shops is just nuts. And so I would just, I would take pictures of them and I'll just come up with stories of what the cake is trying to say.
You should add a link to, with the video so people can see that.
Oh, maybe
from the blog.
All right. I'll remember to forget it.
Okay. I'll forget to remember to remind you.
Yeah. But it's not as indulgent as I think a lot of Americans are for Christmas. When my wife sees what my sisters have done with their children, she's like, oh my God, that's so indulgent. That's spoiling them so much when they see what they do. I mean, our daughter, you know, she has decent Christmas. She's indulged compared to her friends.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite over the top because I hear just a lot of households, children get maybe one or two gifts, and then father comes in with Christmas cake, and then they cut the cake, and there we go. That's Christmas. It sounds very Bob Cratchit to me. Kind of depressing, in my opinion.
Well, but remember, the Cratchits were extremely happy as well, right? I think that's the point of that story. Except even though the happiest of them all was Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
the boy who was sick, right? Yeah. The cripple. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Just it's still not over as it is. Now, we do have a few things, because this is the big question I wanted to answer. Well, I'm going to say this. Also, this is another interesting too, is Christmas is an official holiday in South Korea, but Easter is not.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think socially, Christmas is by far more popular than Easter. But I think if you look at most church calendars, Easter is the most important holiday for the church.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but you know, Christianity came to Korea by way of Christmas. That's what I'm trying to say here. And that's how it was. And so, mm-hmm. Actually, the Constitution says you're not supposed to have religious holidays that go against other religions. I'm going to get into that a little bit later on about the controversy of that. But it's one of the few, South Korea is one of the few countries that has Christmas, but not Easter as an official holiday. And I didn't really notice much Easter celebrations at all in Korea.
On Easter Sunday, local churches will hand out eggs. It's the only thing.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Hard boiled eggs. Yeah. And with a little card, or with the wet naps or tissue packages or something. And the eggs are in a little baggie with those. And of course on the front of the tissue package, it's a label, or like the phone number for the church or the address or something like that. And it's all free. They just hand it out. So Christmas, so Easter morning, I go out purposely to get my breakfast.
You're so bad. Get your jimjilbang egg.
Yeah, whatever. Eggs. I'm fine. If they're handing them out, I'm going to take them. And they'll give one to me and they'll give one to my daughter.
So you're like, you're kiran duduk.
Yeah. No, I'm not stealing them. I'm
beggar. What's the word for beggar again?
Koji. Yeah, koji. Kerem koji. No, I remember like a couple of years ago, my daughter asked me, why are they handing out eggs? And I told her, they're farmers. I said they're egg farmers.
We do. We did for a while. My neighbors, we did little Easter things and hid eggs and stuff.
But I do that every year with my daughter. We hide Corona, chocolate and stuff.
After Corona, we stopped. And now my daughter's too old for that stuff. Anyway, she's old enough for Halloween now. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. And Halloween's, now it's really fun, right?
Yeah. Anyway. I thought I'm going to go on a side. This is like the sidebar of the show. The history of Christmas music in Korea. I know you're waiting for this one, aren't you? The first what? No.
I was going to ask you, what's your favorite Christmas song? But go ahead.
Oh, really?
First. Yeah.
I know what yours is. I'm sure I can guess what yours is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's my favorite Christmas song?
It's the Pogues one.
Oh, no, no,
no, no,
no.
Okay.
No. Probably Blues for Christmas by John Lee Hooker.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds
or Backdoor Santa by Clarence Carter.
That sounds dirty.
It is.
Okay. So the first recorded Christmas song was in 1926 by Yoon Shim-deok, called Faust Noel, Blue Galilee, and Santa Cross, Santa Lucia. I think they were more like hymns, and the early ones were more like hymns. But then when the Americans started coming here after liberation and the war and everything, with the U.S. came a lot of like USO entertainment. And I think I see this as kind of a heyday for a lot of Korean entertainment, the precursor of K-pop. You look back and you see all these really interesting groups that came out in the 50s, 60s, and even 70s.
The Kim Sisters and stuff like that?
Yeah. So the Jung Sisters came out, and then they came out with a Silent Night album.
Mm-hmm.
58, Christmas Memories by Song Min-do, written by Han Bok-nam. I'm just saying this just as placeholders. 1966, Patty Kim came out with a Christmas album, and it had these are the English translations: White Christmas, Cute Drumstick Girl, Coming to Santa's Village, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, what I'm thinking is these are the ones we know of that were translated into Korean, and they're translated back. Right. The titles are translated back into English. Right. Yeah, because I think this might be the popularization of the Korean version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Right. The lyrics in Korean are a little bit different.
Yeah.
I
just know. Yeah. Coal. Something about coal. there's a dirty word we have kids do the Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin, Lazy Meg. Korean kids have a version of that with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm trying to remember thinking about Kodachi. You say Kodachi at the end of it. Yeah, that's what it is.
Kodachi? Booger?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Chinese Kodachi. You put that at the end.
Nice.
That's a fun one. I think the Coming to Santa's Village, I think that's Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's right. Uronde. Yeah, don't cry.
Santa Hanna Bajinin.
Uronde. Yeah, because my daughter started to sing that in this past week. I think they're doing it at her kindergarten. I don't know the lyrics of that, though.
I've heard it a few times.
I don't remember it.
Yeah. My guess is that those got popularized in 66, Patty Kim.
She was huge. She was massive, massive star.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 68, Shinsegae put out a Christmas album that had a lot of celebrities on it and included possibly Korea's first comedy Christmas song. As a version of Jingle Bell sung by comedian Seo Yong-jun and the female duet of Gapsun Ulsun.
Whatever that was about. Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. I wonder what they said. Jingle Bells, communist smell.
I think it's down later. But I had to bring up 1970s is notable. 1972, Huna Na came out with an album called White Christmas. It is known in international media as being one of the top 10 worst Christmas album covers of all time.
Google.
That's how it's notable. Yeah. Huna Na, White Christmas. 1984, I think just like in America, 80s had a lot of Christmas comedy albums, I think. So Shim Hyung-rae came out with a comic album of Jingle Bells, and I think it might be the same Jingle Bells. And one of the lyrics was, "Riding a sled through the white snow, running or not running is refreshing." Which I think is funny in Korean. But anyway, this is notable because, this is back during the dictator times, and it was not allowed to be played on the radio. It was not suitable for airplay because of poor pronunciation, bad tempo, and poor singing.
Wish they'd bring that back.
Yeah, I like that one. But then we started getting the proto K-pop acts in the 1990s and 2000s. So, Mr. Two. Mr. Dot Two. Came out with White Winter. You can still hear the song, but other people have recorded it. You likely will hear that song recorded by others. Diva came out with December Drama, which is very popular in the late 90s. But
ugh, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be back. For what you're
about. Oh, okay.
This is the bathroom break song.
No, no. This is the this is where this is the dark side of soul, the dark side of Christmas. Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." Even though it came out in 1994, I have this pet theory. It didn't get popular until the movie Love Actually came out.
When was it? That's 2003 or something?
I thought it was 1999. Ah, I got to find that out.
I'll check quick. I think I saw that in Korea. I think it's 2003, maybe.
Well, do you remember that song being popular before? You saw Love before Love Actually came out in Korea? Yeah.
I actively drown out music like that, so I don't remember.
One thing, Love Actually is a love story taken around Christmas. It's perfect for the couple version of Christmas holidays. This is crack for young couples on Christmas.
Yeah, it's 2003. The movie came out.
Okay, 2003. All right. So this is where I'm going to pick this. Okay, I'm going to put this correctly in my notes.
Saw that in a theater in Korea in Seoul.
I saw it much later. But this is, it's studied in English classes. The script is studied. It is so well loved here. Now there's an edited version that's shown in Korea without the entire part with what's his name? Martin. He played Watson in Sherlock. The whole porn actor scene that all is excised from the movie in the Korean cut.
Oh, I've only ever seen the Korean cut. So I've only seen the movie.
Yeah, there's a whole subplot in there of two they're not doing porn, they're doing like lovemaking scenes. Okay, you know, they're body doubles doing lovemaking scenes.
I don't think I've seen that. And, I've seen the movie twice, maybe.
It kind of reminds me of the Wile E. Coyote cartoons where he and the sheepdog are clocking in to chase each other all day. Because it's like this couple and they're like pretending to do all these sex acts, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, how was your day today? Oh yeah, it was good. Yeah, okay. Well, here, let me go. Do you want me to put it here? Okay, yeah, just put it here. Okay, how's this? Yeah, it's really. They're just talking like they're like two colleagues just coming into work, another day at work again. It's pretty funny. Anyway, I really think that this song, the Mariah Carey Christmas soundtrack, was so prevalent in Love Actually, that's when the song exploded in Korea. I don't think it was before 2003.
I don't remember.
Yeah. And that became, and then that one and Last Christmas by Wham. At some point in the 2000s, I think those got legally decreed to be the only two Christmas songs you're allowed to play in Korea on a loop. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. If the Mariah Carey fans, but if you lived in Korea for a while, it's you've heard it more than you will ever want to hear in your entire life, and you cannot say it. Now, all my research on this, I was trying to find out when it got popular, why it got popular. People are like saying it's so overplayed that you don't need to buy the song, you don't need to download the song, you just need to walk outside and you hear the song. Nonetheless, I don't hear anyone like saying like anything negative about it. They're like, it's such an uplifting song and everything. It's like they just don't know what other songs are in the canon because they all get drowned out by those two songs. All right, it's the Grinch side coming through. Anyway, Last Christmas and All I Want for Christmas Is You heavily covered by K-pop acts. Covered so much that young people today think that Mariah Carey is singing a cover.
I've heard that before with with certain songs like Maria.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, Maria, yeah, Kim Ah-jun? Yeah, yeah, her really bad version of Blondie's Maria.
Right. So yeah. I've heard people tell me they thought the Korean one was the original.
Nope, and it's not. And
God, not even close.
No. I mean, you hear Deborah Harry sing it. Oh God, yeah.
And also, yeah. Psy's song where he samples
Axel F. That's
Champion.
F,
yeah. Champion.
And there's another one called Oppa, which is the melody of Cyndi Lauper's Shebop.
Oh.
Oppa, da, 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 da. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know that song. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's some of those. But anyway, people think that Mariah Carey is ripping other people's off. It was okay. So Last Christmas came out in the 80s, 85, but it was released in Korea much later because you couldn't buy it, but you could hear it on the radio. And then a singer named Sun Hee Lee sang it in Korean, but the lyrics were not a translation of the original. So I think at that time people just didn't know what the song was about and they just liked the music and that's why they got into it. But it's considered, now that people know what the song is about, it's considered bad luck to sing it at the Norebang as a duet. Yeah.
I think that's, as a duet, they should have said it's bad luck to sing this song.
Well, it's bad luck to sing, and then also they said, well, it's also, someone chimed in and said, well, it's bad luck to sing it if you're single, too.
Right.
So just don't sing it. Just leave it to the professionals. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up with a lot of events and miscellaneous things I found out about Christmas in Korea, like things that happened. We did talk about 2007, the Anyang student murders, the two young girls that were kidnapped on Christmas in 2007 in my old town. We go to our missing persons episode to find out about that. Mm. There is an inside Korean joke that we have solar Christmas and we have lunar Christmas. So if you want to, you can have another Christmas around January or February on what is on the lunar calendar to be 12th month, 25th day.
Right. It's like Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Two Christmases.
Which could possibly still be Orthodox Christmas, Greek Orthodox Christmas. So. Christmas is also the busiest time of year for the police because it's the end of the year, so lots of celebrations and a lot of drunk driving. Lots of specific professions are very busy. Professors are really busy this time of year because they're grading exams. But one that was surprising to me was movers. Moving companies are very busy. A lot of people are moving on Christmas. Not only that, but students, college, university students are moving on Christmas. So they're hiring a lot of movers. Mm. Also, a little trivia, children born on Christmas or pets adopted on Christmas tend to have characters for Ju, Ye, and Song, which are related to Christmas.
In their names.
In their names.
Yeah.
Some of them are Yewon, which is desired by Jesus. Hason, God's gift. Jun and Juhe, which is God's grace. Yeun, Jesus's grace. Hayong, glory to God, and Yechan, Jesus praise. So if you hear people with those names, they might have been born at Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Or just Christians.
Yeah.
I know that too. Hayong. Yeah. I do know a Hayong. Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay. Yeah. Mm.
I think she's Christian. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. But also, just as she was born, her birthday's around Christmas.
No.
Mm. No. Okay.
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. Mm.
Well, this is why I was asking if your snow story was on 2002, because the last White Christmas, recorded White Christmas in South Korea was in 2002. Or in the Seoul area, specifically, though.
Really?
Yeah. I hunted. Yeah. The last recorded one was in 2002. There's only a 20 to 30% chance of a White Christmas in Seoul. And in the southern part, south of Seoul, it's like a 60%, less than, is a six, so it's a small chance, even smaller chance.
Well, my snow stories, that was in Gangwon-do. That was on the Mishidong.
Yeah, it always snows in Gangwon-do.
Yeah. So, but I seem to remember we had a little bit of snow here.
Yeah,
there was snow last year on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Definitely in Paju. Anyway, last year was a record snowfall.
I don't remember it. Okay. Yeah, maybe so.
Pretty sure. But I mean, we had a few days of really heavy snow throughout the winter, but. But I'm pretty sure we had snow on Christmas Day, but okay. At least a dusting. But again,
okay,
I don't
dusting, live in Seoul. But significant like, snow fall.
Right. But I mean, like, and I'm not, I don't live in Seoul. So if it's the city proper, then yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 2015 was our last full moon. If you on care Christmas about those things. Yeah. Last full moon on Christmas. Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to have to wait till 2034. For the next full moon, if you care about stuff like that. Other historic events that we've talked about on Christmas Day, if you go to one of our disasters episodes of 1970s disasters, 1971 was the Daejeongguk Hotel fire, which is the worst hotel fire in world history. In 1975, that's when Buddha's birthday was designated a legal holiday, even amidst a right-wing Protestant protest, which they still protest, what I call Buddhamas. A little trivia, we didn't even know this. 2010, there was a constitutional petition to remove both Christmas and Buddhamas, but that was soundly rejected.
Interesting. You know why that was rejected? Because they're both public holidays. People are like, no, we want the days off.
We want the holidays. I don't think that anyone wants to remove holidays. What type of horrible person wants to remove holidays? Don't care if it's religious or not. Don't want to remove holidays. You know, why don't we have Hanukkah off? Come on, man.
We want Hanukkah.
Yeah, and it's a lunar based celebration, so hey, goes with everything else.
And happy Hanukkah. The first day of Hanukkah was, as of recording, was yesterday.
Yeah.
Or today. Yesterday or today.
All right.
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. It is. Awesome. This is interesting. Okay. See, this is when I do research, I'm going to want to find topics for other episodes. 2005, the Jecheon police station in North Chungcheong province. This is something different. Okay. But we could talk about this too. Apply for arrest warrant for the son who killed his father because he did not want to join the military.
Mm. Yep.
In 2016, we'll remember this one, was a special Haya Christmas vigil held for the speedy impeachment of President Park Geun-hye.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember that.
Oh, I remember. I mean, that was a good, we saw that entire protest from the beginning to end. Yeah, and we thought it would start dying down when the weather got cold, but it stuck around. I mean, it wasn't as big, but it stuck around when the cold, during the cold times. And so, yeah, they even Protestant churches and some groups held services in the Gwangmyeon protest site on Christmas 2016. And that's when that's when the song All I Want for Christmas is Tanhek.
Impeachment.
We've covered this on another episode about disasters. We talked about the Jecheon Sports Center fire. Man, Jecheon just has bad luck on Christmas. I'm sorry. That was awful. 2017, it was, the Sports Center fire was just right before Christmas. Two senior pastors of different senior pastors of two different churches were lost in the fire. And yeah, that's held special services for them. So that was a big, sad time for them. No, this is the one I want to do a show on. 2018. I just found this and I didn't delve into the details because this is the first I ever heard of this. This sounds like a movie. 60 detectives from the Gwangju North Police Station went back and forth between Incheon and Gwangju in a fight against gangsters. So like there's some war between the police and the gangsters going between Gwangju and Incheon at around Christmas of 2018. That's a movie pitch right there. Why is this not a Netflix series?
That's a map. That's like 300 kilometers between.
Yeah. And so there must have been something going on. That's one I want to research this more. This is going to be another show.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll tell you what will not be another show was in 2019. Wendy from Red Velvet fell down and was injured for 2 days during a Christmas show. Right. I'm pointing this out because Red Velvet fans don't like Christmas because of that.
Good grief.
And next, something to look forward to, 2049, which is 3 years before my predicted death. Christmas and Budimus will fall on a Sunday. Not at the same time, but they will both be synced up to fall on a Sunday. And if you miss that, you'll have to wait until 2174 before it happens again.
Stick around for 2049, kids.
There are nerds out there calculating all this stuff. When I was doing my research on this one page, like someone was recording the freaking temperature and snowfall from every Christmas from 1908 to now, as if anyone found that interesting.
Scientists might.
Yeah, but this they took the approach that a lot of officials take at Korean historic sites, is they give you a lot of information that's true, but not interesting. But that's how I found out that our last white Christmas was supposedly 2002.
Interesting.
Little celebrations that go around, if you want to know, if you're in Korea, Busan, there's the Busan Citizen Tree Culture Festival. I think it was started around 2008. I don't know about COVID, but might still be going on. Mm-hmm. Seoul, we know there's been trees in front of Seoul City Hall, or not really a tree, but lights set up to look like a tree.
This year is a tree. It's a huge tree. This year's a tree.
Yeah.
Did you see it on your tour?
They were building a stage when I took the tour this past Saturday.
Yeah. I walk my tour walks right in front of City Hall. We go, we cross there. They went
deeper in. So you saw them building the stage.
Yeah. And the tree is right in the front. So like when you're coming up the road, walking towards City Hall and Sejongno, you can see it.
Okay.
Yeah. The huge tree.
Mm. I usually note the skating rink that comes up during the winter. But I don't think they're going to do that. Are they going to do that this year, do you think? Corona and all that?
The restrictions are
lifted. I know we're living with COVID. So maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
We don't know.
I think if you're outdoors and you're wearing a mask, it's probably fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But one of the more recent things is this Christmas festival that happens on the Cheonggyecheon stream. It's like a miniature lantern festival. And it's cold because you're near running water in winter. It's cold, but people enjoy it. People do it. Go down there.
It's crowded. That was canceled last year, I think. This year, I don't
get
know.
I get all grouchy because it messes up my tour route.
That's right, because you go down there now. You still go down there. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I removed Chungkaechun from my tour.
Yeah.
Because it's because of stuff like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We find ways around it. We still have
fun. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And honestly, okay, so even if we don't go down there, there's actually something else that my guest find interesting. I mean, the Lantern Festival was in my last tour, and oh, this was hilarious little story. Because we were watching the Lantern Festival, and I'm just telling one of the stories, and there was a power outage. The entire Lantern Festival shut down, and it didn't come up the rest of the time while we were down there. They couldn't get the lights back up. I was like, well, this is, what do you think happens? You know, what do you expect would happen when you put electrical things in the middle of running water? Yeah, things happen. I just keep imagining this like Merry Christmas, Mr. Bean, like Mr. Bean just accidentally unplugged it.
He unplugs the lights in the department store.
Yeah.
To see if the Christmas lights he wants to buy work.
Yeah. Yeah. I watch it
every year.
Yeah. Oh yeah, me too. That's a traditional one for me. And now it's easily the whole thing's on YouTube now, so I don't need to
do
anything special for that one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That was Christmas in Korea. Please tell us your Christmas memories, how you celebrate, and especially Korean Christmas memories. I would love to hear those.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what people do. What our listeners do. Send us a message.
Yeah, like this message.
We'll return to the podcast after this message.
Take a walk down the dark alleys of the forgotten 600-year history of bloody massacres, seedy hideaways, and morning ghosts. Come face to face with souls' deepest, darkest secrets. What lies under the concrete? For who? The dark side of soul ghost walk. Look now, if you dare.
That was good, wasn't it? Any media recommendations?
Yeah, a few good Christmas horror stories. Again, like I said at the beginning, like the idea of telling a ghost story on Christmas, especially on Christmas Eve, goes back to M.R. James. Well, goes before then. M.R. James really popularized it in the late 19th century. Although his first collection of ghost stories, I think, was in the year 1900. A Christmas Carol, Dickens' A Christmas Carol is, you know, a classic Christmas ghost story. Mm-hmm. So there's a long history of horror stories and weird fiction on Christmas. And there are a lot of good Christmas horror movies. So sometimes I recommend winter themed horror movies like the Abominable Snowman from Hammer Films with Peter Cushing. That's great. The Wendigo is really good and a bit weird, but it's quite good. But I'm just going to recommend horror movies that are set around Christmas. So the first one I'll say is A Christmas Horror Story. That's classic. It's an anthology. It's a modern classic. It's not an old movie, but it's an anthology horror story with William Shatner.
Oh.
Sold. Yeah, so that should sell it for a lot of people. He's the DJ stuck DJing, or he's a radio host and DJ, and he's at work on Christmas Eve in the radio station. It's great, really good, and it's a Canadian film. That's why
I've had to do something similar. I had to work at the TV station on Christmas morning.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. And so the next one, Day of the Beast, fantastic Spanish horror film. That's probably my favorite. Well, definitely like maybe my favorite Christmas horror movie, Day of the Beast. Fantastic. Very religious based, funny too. It's got a lot of good comic relief. Very well timed. Great movie. Rare Exports is really good. Recommend that. Treevenge is a short film. That's on YouTube. You can watch that. Fantastic. That's a Canadian movie. And anyone who watches it will recognize Jonovision. And any Canadians watching it of my generation, maybe a little bit younger, will recognize Jonovision. And The Lodge. That's from a couple of years ago. It's a Hammer film. Psychological horror. Really good. And then BBC's A Christmas Story for Christmas. A ghost story for Christmas.
A Christmas Story for Ghosts.
Yeah. BBC started a strand of Christmas stories. God, I said it again. Ghost stories that they would play around Christmas time every year. And it was just called A Ghost Story for Christmas. And I think the first year was 70 or 71 and did them every year. I think there was a hiatus at one point. Christopher Lee narrated a couple of them in the 80s or 90s. And I'm not sure if all of them, but a good portion of them are all on YouTube. So just go on YouTube and search BBC A Ghost Story for Christmas and you'll get them. They're not all set at Christmas, but they were the whole point of that was to bring back and kind of reignite the tradition of telling scary stories at Christmas time, which was really kind of pushed through by Dickens and then made famous by M.R. James. So it's a real British tradition, ghost stories at Christmas. So tell a ghost story this Christmas Eve. That's what I do.
More mainstream one would be Gremlins.
Yeah, it's definitely, I love that movie. But I'm trying to go with stuff that's not so popular.
I know.
Yeah, I love Gremlins.
Yeah. Any listener mail?
Yeah, this is a review. This is from, this is from TripAdvisor. So these aren't the people's real name. This is how she signed it. Jen Marketing CFA.
Oh, she took my tour.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, and she said, it's the history books don't want you to know. Loved all the spooky tales filled with fascinating information. I've lived here for 3 years and discovered parts of Seoul I had never seen. I went on the regular tour, came home, and immediately booked the extended tour. Highly recommended.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jen Marketing CFA.
That was great. She was fun.
Good stuff.
Good times. Mm-hmm. We want to thank Sorak-san for our opening and closing music, which you can find on Bandcamp under Jeju Digital. There's still a little bit of time if you're getting some of the holidays are still left over when this comes out. So you get, we have the comic book.
Yeah. Yes.
At least you can get the digital version, which is available on Comixology and on our website at darksideofsoul.com. Comixology. No, it's on Amazon. Oh yeah, you get on Kindle. You get on Kindle now.
Well, that's Comixology. It's Amazon owns.
They're moving Comixology over to Kindle now.
Right.
Who didn't see that coming?
You can still buy it on the Comixology store, but you won't be able to use the Comixology app to read it.
Yeah.
If you buy it now. Yeah. So
get on Kindle.
Or you can just go to the Kindle store, but you can go to Comixology as well.
Yeah,
it'll just go to your Kindle, not to your Comixology app.
Also, I want to remind you that we have a Patreon, which starting at just $5 a month, you can get a lot of extra stuff. Sean is sharing a lot of extra stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And for $20 a month, you can get a lot of extra stuff, including get in our special chats and get-togethers and even get a special gift sent to your mailbox every month. We want to thank our top-tier patrons, Angel Earl, Joe Bonamini, Sharon Cullen, Devin Hifner, Minsok Lee, Jane Hargrave, Sarah Ford, Alex Radia, Ryan Berkebal, Ashley Rigby, Gabby Palomino, and our new one, Steve Marsh, coming in. Thank you for supporting our habit. All right, everyone. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Have a wonderful Kwanzaa. And make sure that you have feats of strength for Festivus. Whatever. Or just
Saturnalia.
Saturnalia. And just until next time, stay spooky.
And good night.